Nothing Ever Really Ends by Nick Sossaty. Rating is explicit. No archive warnings apply. Category is male-male. Fandom is supernatural. Relationship, Dean Winchester / Sam Winchester. Characters, Sam Winchester, Dean Winchester, Jack Klein. Additional tags, Heavenfic, Soulmates. Soulmates, Dean Winchester, and Sam Winchester. Post-episode, Season 15, Episode 20, Carry On. Dean Winchester in Heaven. Sam Winchester in Heaven. Winchesters in Heaven. Boys in Love. First Time. Dean Winchester / Sam Winchester, First Time Having Sex. Post-series. Happy Boys. Peace When You Are Done. Together Forever. Legendary Winchesters, Supernatural. Grand Canyon, Freeform. Jack Klein as God. Soul Sex. Summary. Post-series Heavenfic. That Dean loves Sam has always been true. That Sam loves him back is just as true. But it's never been quite like this. Days and nights spent in leisure, relaxed and happy. No worries, no peril. When a change finally comes, it doesn't feel like a change at all. It feels like the rest. Notes. Written for the Wincest Soulmates zine 2021. This was written back in January or so, and it's very close to my heart. My coda to the series and my final wish for the boys. Whatever I write after this, this will always be their ending for me. I hope you guys love it as much as I do. In the beginning, it happens fast. Or at least it seems to. Life on Earth still clings to them both like tattered remnants of clothing, the sense of time passing still guided by their time spent in flesh. But, oh, those first moments. Getting to heaven is like turning a corner, coming out of a narrow, dark, dirty alley, and finally finding space to breathe. World opening up in sunlight and trees and glorious noise. The whistle of wind and the thundering rushing of water, birds chirping and twittering, warmth of his brother's shoulder pressed to his, smile lingering on both their lips, happiness and lifetimes and satisfaction. The tipping of their heads to touch as they'd rarely done in life. As easy as breathing. As natural, too. It's different now. Dean tells him after a while. Mom and Dad are here. Bobby's here. Everyone we ever loved. All right here. We can be with them forever? Sam asks. Dean nods. And a whippoorwill sings into the silence. Have you seen them yet? Sam asks. Dean still doesn't speak, just shakes his head, face turned so he can look Sam in the eye. Those green eyes, so clear now. Misery and pain blown away like clouds across the sky, scattered and forgotten. They burn bright, bright as the sun, and Sam loves him. Feels it with a purity he hasn't since he was 6 years old, and Dean was happiness, safety, and home. Can we wait? Sam asks. Dean grins like it's the best idea he's ever heard, throwing a glance at the Impala over Sam's shoulder. He arches a brow at Sam, and Sam grins, wide open and free. The humming of the Impala is like a familiar song in Sam's bones, and he feels it like he hadn't in too long on Earth. Two boys in the open road, the whole world and their lives stretched out before them. Dirt road and trees give way to pavement and cityscapes, and finally to fantastical places Sam can scarcely believe, glad Dean doesn't need to pay attention to the road in heaven as they both gawk. Music, always music, Metallica. Whitesnake, AC/DC, the Rolling Stones, Bob Seger, and hundreds of others in an endless cascade. Once, a Led Zeppelin song Sam's never heard begins to play, driving guitar and thumming drums, and Dean nearly stops driving then, jaw dropping open. "Is this?" Sam starts to ask. "This song doesn't exist." Dean says in awe, "Sam." Dean's so excited he's twisting in his seat, one finger jabbing in the direction of the tape deck. "Sammy, this is a Led Zeppelin song that doesn't exist on Earth." "You gonna be okay?" Sam asks, part amused, part concerned. "We get new Led Zeppelin in heaven," Dean exclaims, hand rising, lightly punching the roof of the Impala. Dean cranks the volume and steps on the gas, and Sam smiles, leans back in the passenger seat, and just watches him, no longer captivated by the scenery outside the car, rattle and hum of the car like bones and blood, his brother beside him, like soul and life itself. They drive. Elsewhere, dinners and celebrations, reunions and entertainment are planned, pies of every possible type. Meat and fruit and vegetable, and one Rufus insists tastes like despair, cooling along the biggest banquet table anyone could ever imagine. It also fits inside their parents' house, somehow. If time is different here, so is space and spatial relations. Family and friends wait, and wait, and wait. In what people on Earth measure as time, Sam and Dean drive for 600 years. "They'll be along," Bobby says. And in time, they are. There are reunions and smiles and tears held too long, happy and sad all at once. There are feasts and barbecues, cold beer and conversation, rowdy nights at the roadhouse filled with laughter and drinking contests, nights where the stars dot the sky like a billion tiny pinpricks, the moon so close and full, Dean can almost taste it.
"What does the moon taste like?"
Sam asks, and Dean hardly notices Sam heard him even though he hadn't spoken.
"Blue cheese,"
Dean replies. Sam huffs out a laugh and rolls his eyes.
"It's in all the cartoons,"
Dean says as if this makes it 100% true, gives a hopeful grin that invites Sam to join in the joke. Sam laughs despite himself.
"You're a dork."
Dean lifts a shoulder, unoffended.
"You love it,"
he says, as if stating a simple fact. Sam doesn't argue with that, because he does. They settle in a house by the edge of the river, and neither one of them knows exactly where it came from or why it's perfect for both of them. Magic fingers in the bed for Dean, coffee so fresh it smells like the beans were just picked, a small library for Sam and a pool table for them both. Every comfort and convenience they could have wanted. Miracle finds them shortly after that, slipping into the place he'd filled in their lives like he'd never left. They never question why they share a home, and if anyone else does, they never say anything. There are places in heaven where the walls grow thin, places they discover after they've been there a while. Once, Sam walked into the pantry and found himself in Enid, Oklahoma. The thin spots come and go like ripples on the water, spinning with the turn of the universe. But some stay. There's still a spot behind the stove where Dean can occasionally catch a glimpse of what he's pretty sure is ancient Egypt if he looks hard enough. There are thin spots along the road, too. Cars separated from the earth by a watery veil. And Dean thinks if they turned into it hard enough, fast enough, they could almost be there.
"Do you want to go back?"
Sam asks. Dean shrugs, both hands on the steering wheel, gazing at Sam across one shoulder, fondness in those green depths speaking more than words ever could.
"Nah,"
he says, casual.
"I got everything I need right here."
Here, right here in this car, where it feels like they were born and where they never really left. Four walls and all the comforts, and they've had roofs over their heads. But here, right here,
This car and everything in it has always been home. Sometimes they do take that hard left, ride along the edge of the world and reality itself. Back roads more secret than any they'd driven in life. Jagged cuts through ravines and hidden hills, crumbling back alleys, the vast stretches of open desert without a car in sight. They drive to the Grand Canyon, and Dean stops, tires grinding red dirt several hundred feet from the edge. Glance cut across his shoulder at Sam, schoolboy grin on his lips, and Sam doesn't have to hear a word to know.
I am not holding your hand,
Sam tells him.
Come on, Sammy, just once.
Dean looks out through the windshield before settling his gaze on Sam again.
When are we ever going to get to do this again?
Sam eyes him, skeptical.
It's not like we can die,
Dean says.
Again.
Sam sighs with a heavy sound, reaches out, and takes Dean's hand in his own. Dean grins like a kid on Christmas morning, and Sam can't help but smile back, his brother lifting their clasped hands and pushing the gas pedal to the floor. Enormous speed carrying them to the edge until the tires leave the ground, and for a moment, they're weightless, suspended above a 100-mile drop. And then they fall, engine revving, Dean's hand squeezing his so tight it nearly hurts. They're both laughing, sunlight glaring off metal and chrome, and Sam realizes, for the first time maybe ever, that he's happy. They still sleep in heaven. Sam doesn't know why, but if he had to guess, he'd guess it's because they're still in the habit of having mortal bodies. Their house grows and changes with them. A castle, a cabin, an A-frame, a rambler, a Victorian, a colonial, and occasionally, a roadside motel. On those nights, they fall asleep beside each other on separate beds beneath red neon light through the windows. And although neither of them will admit it, they both sleep like bricks, unplagued by dreams and remnants of the mortal world. If, over time, the house slowly morphs into a state of various changing roadside motels and little else, they don't think much about it. After, even when it resumes more house-like shapes, they continue to sleep in the same room. They don't think much about this, either. Dean cooks and Sam teases. Sam reads and Dean pesters, always together, in every room, inside the Impala, closer and closer inside each other's space. Less nights spent at the roadhouse and more inside the doors or moats of their own home. That Dean loves Sam has always been true. That Sam loves him back is just as true. But it's never been quite like this. Days and nights spent in leisure, relaxed and happy. No worries, no peril. With time, there are little touches here, lingering glances there, unnecessary hugs held longer than they should be, reluctant releasing at the end. The loud silence of words unsaid. When the first kiss comes, it hits them like the most beautiful train wreck of all time. Destiny on a collision course, always bearing down on both of them. Drawing back, wide-eyed, breath stilled in their chests. A moment, just a single moment suspended in time that feels like eternity, of, wait, what are we doing? And then another kiss. Deep and needy, all of the questions they'd never dared ask in life answered with a single sweep of tongues. Slowly growing fervent, frantic, hands clawing at clothes until they realize they can just be naked. And then, oh then. Bare skin to bare skin, pressed chest to hip, and neither of them really knows what they're doing. Just driven to go further, deeper. Have more. Can't. Won't. Mustn't. Shouldn't. All disappear in the softness of skin. The lean hardness of muscle. The hot velvety heat of their cocks. They have bodies, but it isn't the same as it was on Earth. Overwhelming and electrifying.
sensations unlike anything they've ever felt, merging together and drifting apart, again and again.
When Dean thrusts inside Sam, hard and slick, Sam feels it deeper than anything else he's ever known, inside and out.
Dean inside his mind, filling his awareness, consuming and sharing his body all at once. He can feel every sensation Dean feels layered on top of his own senses, intensified and blown inside out. The feedback loop sends him reeling inside his mind, bursting with pleasure, almost too much to bear, and he loses himself in it as Dean begins to move, palm pressed against Sam's face, other holding his shoulder, bodies fused together at mouth and hip, becoming a single being.
Holy shit.
Sam gasps, shuddering and twisting with bliss. Dean's head snaps back, and Sam can feel everything his brother is feeling, his own pleasure and feelings reflected back at him through the lens of Dean's awareness, bodies blending, sensations combining. He feels it flood through Dean, then double back on himself, almost knocking him senseless. Dean's head snaps back, whole body seizing, hips shuddering as they slide deep.
Oh, fuck.
Dean rasps. Sam clings to Dean, moving together faster, deeper, harder. Mouths a single hot tangle, naked bodies falling into rhythm as naturally as they'd ever hunted together. Push and pull and twist and thrust. Both of them nearly senseless when Dean finally draws back a little, wraps a hand around Sam's cock. Dean comes almost the instant Sam does, feeling his own hand wrapped around Sam, the intense pleasure it sends singing through his body, cock pulsing in jagged bursts that end any coherent thought completely. Dean's pleasure bolts out everything except Sam's own. Then, all of Dean's senses and sensations spilling into Sam and making Sam come even harder, and Dean feels that too. There's nothing solid to cling to after that. The two of them hurtling through unimagined ecstasy at the speed of lightning, thunderclap filling the space behind them and rattling them skin to bone, shaking them furiously in its grasp until finally, sated, it loosens little by little. Awareness is beginning to resolve into separate entities again, pleasure still moving through them like tiny earthquakes. Sam can still feel Dean, still hear him. But they're singular again, hot, shivering skin and pounding hearts, breathless and wide-eyed.
What?
Sam gasps.
The fuck was that?
And strangely, he doesn't mean the fact that he just had sex with his brother. That feels somehow right, good even, but what they just experienced.
I don't know.
Dean gasps back. Still breathing hard.
But I think we should do it again.
On Earth, people tell stories about them. For decades. For centuries. For longer than they would have ever believed possible. Sam and Dean Winchester. The tales are grandiose, and if Sam and Dean hadn't lived them firsthand, they would think the stories were full of shit.
Over time, even that grandiose truth changes, the Winchesters sliding closer to sainthood than two guys who wore denim and flannel and try their best to do the right thing, usually flying by the seat of their pants with demons and angels halfway up their asses. A teenage girl in Tennessee sits in a 1950s-style diner with her friends, their style at complete odds with the surroundings. The 1950s, it seems, still persists as some kind of golden era even in the far future. But her lips are the same bright, bubblegum pink as her hair as she takes a sip from her milkshake.
The Winchester brothers always had a plan, she says as she finishes her story, her friends listening with rapt attention. And they always saved the world.
Do you really think they were soulmates, though?
A boy with shaggy blonde hair asks. The girl stares at him, her pink lips forming a round O of shock.
I mean,
the boy says, licking his lips and sitting back from the table. brothers as soulmates is kind of like incest, right?
The girl gathers herself across the table, muscles coiling, face tightening.
Behind the thin wall that separates them from the diner, Sam says,
"Soulmates can be platonic." "Yeah, but we're not,"
Dean replies.
"Not anymore, anyway."
There was a time when even the thought of that would have sent Dean to a corner, elbows around his knees, rocking back and forth. But that was before he died, for the last time. Before they had heaven and forever, and he didn't have to be afraid anymore. Sam is still looking at him, quizzical.
"All the time we spent on Earth, we were completely platonic." "Well, maybe we shouldn't have been," Dean replies.
Sam's jaw drops, and Dean can see all the words he's about to speak, held just behind his lips.
"I know. I never would have gone for it. You wouldn't have either. It was Earth. We were just brothers, and it would have fucked everything up more than it already was."
In the diner, the girl is drawing breath to speak, and Dean takes a moment to consider.
"But does that mean we never wanted it?"
Dean shrugs.
"Hell, maybe that's all that ever stood between the fight and us winning."
Sam's jaw drops open even further, and Dean can't help but smirk. He can hear everything Sam is thinking right now, and he gets it, but it isn't what he wants to focus on right now.
"Quiet, Sam. I want to hear this."
Dean leans forward, hands settling together across his knees, palms rubbing together as he focuses on the girl.
"She's about to tear this guy, a new asshole."
And she does. And it's glorious. Sam can't let it go, mind chewing on Dean's words, the possibilities they'd begun spinning out beyond his control. They'd come so close to losing, so many times. But they hadn't. They hadn't been together like this, and still they'd overcome the obstacles in their way. Their final battle was against God himself, something that should have been impossible. And still, somehow, they'd won. Their will stronger than God's own. Their love for each other stronger than anything God could conjure or conceive. Across all the universes, across all the timelines, all the Sams, all the Deans, there had been them. This Sam and this Dean, lines between their hearts like gossamer thread, binding fast across the scars and holding tight to eternity, defying death, defying God himself. Imagine if their bond had been even stronger. Is that what Dean had meant? The next turn of the sun, Sam catches Dean coming around the corner of the kitchen and stops him, hands on his shoulders.
"You can't just say something like that and never mention it again, Dean." "Sam, are you saying that if we'd been like this, then, maybe nothing would have gotten between us? Not heaven? Not hell?"
Dean just looks at him, those gorgeous green eyes grown warm and content, as they never were in life, and gives him a slow, lazy smile.
"It doesn't matter. We're here now."
"Do you think Chuck knew?" Sam asks. "And that's why he tried so hard to drive a wedge between us over the years? Because he thought if we were together like this, we'd be unstoppable?" Dean shakes his head slightly, uncertain.
"I don't know. Maybe."
"Should we have?" Sam trails off, feeling lost.
"Sammy, stop."
Dean's voice is quiet, hands rising to cup Sam's face, and everything inside Sam goes still with Dean's touch.
"I just meant, this feels right, Sam. It feels like the rest. Like how it always should have been."
Looking in his brother's eyes, the swirl of Dean's thoughts like music chasing through Sam's head. Each one as well known to him as his own. Sam nods.
"Yeah. Yeah, it does."
Heat of his brother's mouth against his, their days on Earth a fading memory, and whatever they had been, whatever they are now, nothing has changed.
It's always been just this. Dean and home.
It shouldn't be okay. There's no world in which it should be okay that he's sleeping with his brother, the two of them rutting like teenagers at every opportunity. Not even in heaven should it be okay. But somehow, the rules that held them apart on Earth don't seem to matter here. They don't talk about it much, and they honestly don't need to. Like the house and their lives together here, it just seems to work. Sometimes they spend days and nights with family and friends, breakfasts and dinners, and all the mundane things they'd never had time for in life, plus a few fantastical ones. But most of their time is spent together, in whatever shape their home currently holds. Separate beds in a single room to the visitor's eye, a single queen when they're alone again. If anyone suspects anything, they never say a word. Sam thinks maybe they don't want to know for sure. Sam isn't sure how long it's been when Dean comes to him one day, identical rings he'd carved from ironwood held out to Sam. Sam takes one, wordless, his eyes locked on Dean's. His first impulse is to put it on his finger, but then everyone would see it, and this is a secret. Not because it's bad or wrong, but secret because it's almost sacred, because it's something just for them. Sam takes the ring, presses it to his lips and then to his heart, letting it swirl in the eddy of his blood, the shape of his heart closing around the wood, keeping it in the place he feels Dean deepest, secret, sacred, and safe. Dean mirrors Sam, ring enclosed in his own heart, and they don't speak during the kisses that come after that. They don't speak into the ecstasy that comes after the kisses, or the quiet tangle of their bodies after that. They never speak of it. But sometimes they look at each other, across a room, across a table, or across the scant space between their bare bodies, and share a quiet, knowing smile. Sam learns to juggle, and Dean learns to play guitar. Sam learns how to make beer, and Dean learns how to bake pies. They master talent after talent, always amazed that there is something more to learn. And so it goes, and so it goes, until, as with all things touched by the passage of time, change eventually comes to them. It doesn't happen all at once. There's no Thursday where they look around and suddenly realize something is different. It happens bit by bit, so slowly it hardly seems to be happening at all. At least, that's how it seems. It's harder to keep track of time when you have forever. People begin to fade one by one. Goodbyes heartfelt, but not painful. They've had enough time together. They slip away like phantoms to wherever people go after they've done everything they've ever wanted, disappearing like mist in the morning light until Sam and Dean are the last. They live in their house by the river until the day miracle leaves them, and then they step out into the sunlight, feet upon the grass in the middle of another perfect day, hand in hand as they lift their faces to the sky.
"It's time,"
Dean says, turning his face to look at Sam.
"You feel it, too."
Sam nods, meeting his brother's eyes. Jack comes to them, tall, lush, green grass whispering about his legs. He stands before them and smiles, still as young as he'd been when he'd become God, a boy trapped in amber and imbued with the power of creation.
"Are you ready?"
Jack asks.
"Will we be together?"
Sam asks. A light line mars the smooth space between Jack's brows.
"I don't know."
Sam looks at Dean, and Dean looks to Sam. They smile, fingers holding each other's tight as they meet Jack's eyes together.
"Then, sorry,"
Sam says.
"But no."
Dean finishes. They don't just live in the house anymore. They live everywhere. In the fields, the mountains, the plains, the dark nights along the roads. They watch the world sometimes through their view, like a frozen waterfall. Distorted,
and rippled with time. I watch humanity rise high, fall, rise again, tenacious and seemingly unstoppable. Sometimes it seems it will never end, and yet it does begin to stop. Sun growing large and red, world winding down. Jack comes for them again, and again, until finally he hugs them both tight and smiles before he fades away for good. At last, Death himself comes to say goodbye, offering them one last chance for oblivion. They all have dinner together beside a singing brook, a slightly awkward affair, and then Death tidies up, puts the chairs on the tables of the universe, and locks the door when he leaves. And then it's just the two of them, the same way it's always been. In the end, there is no end. That's the thing about eternity. It's forever, and that's a mighty long time. Sometimes, Sam thinks it could never be long enough. It goes on the same way it began. Warmth of his brother's body pressed to his, smiles lingering on both their lips, happiness and lifetimes and satisfaction. The last two beings in an empty universe, bound by the heavens, the cosmos, and all the stars in between, by blood and fate and love. They are perfect in their symmetry. Two souls made one, made all. And they go on. Forever.